Blog Talk Radio.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are yours, righteousness. If we die to ourselves and live through your death, we shall be born again to be blessed in your love. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are yours. If we die to ourselves and live through your death, we shall be born again to be blessed in your love. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you. Give me your strength, teach me your song, shelter me in the shadow of your wings, for we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves and live through your death, we shall be born again to be blessed in your love. We shall be born again to be blessed in your love.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. You have heard of the stewardship of God's grace. Today is Tuesday of the second week in ordinary time, January the 17th, 2023, Memorial of St. Anthony Abbot. Gracious and loving God, you call us to be stewards of your abundance, the caretakers of all you have entrusted to us. Help us to always use your gifts wisely and teach us to share them generously. Send the Holy Spirit to work through us, bringing your message to those we serve. Stewards of God's grace have unlimited resources to manage on behalf of Jesus Christ. Like St. Paul and St. Stephen, when full of grace, we are in a better position to allocate its riches. God gives his children grace to dispense to needy hearts. Though retired into the remote parts of a desert, St. Anthony of the desert often experienced the fiercest attacks of the devils. They would appear to him under a thousand frightful forms. The saint laughed at their impotence, and to put them to flight, simply contented himself with making the sign of the cross, saying to his disciples, "Leave me." Satan fears prayer and humility and the love of Jesus Christ. The mere sign of the cross suffices to banish him. St. Patrick and his companions appeared to walk through bolted doors to see the pagan king. Invited to sit down and parley, the pagan priest offered St. Patrick a drink laced with poison. Knowing this, did the sign of the cross over the cup, and immediately the drink went from being hot to ice, except the poison. Dumping out the poison, St. Patrick again blessed the cup, and the drink returned to normal. With everyone watching, the pagan king was converted. St. Martin of Tours, rising from a kneeling posture, he turned his eyes towards a deceased and said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, arise and stand upon your feet." At the sound of this glorious saint, the word from the saint, the soul returned to the body, and the person that was dead opened his eyes and revived. And may we be so empowered as we begin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry, and he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your sacrifice or offering you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocausts or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, "Behold, I come. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will." In the written scroll, it is prescribed for me to do your will. O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your
Today is the memorial of Saint Anthony Abbot. And the scripture reading, first reading, coming from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love you have demonstrated for his name. By having served and continuing to serve the holy ones, we earnestly desire each of you to demonstrate the same eagerness for the fulfillment of hope until the end, so that you may not become sluggish, but imitators of those who, through faith and patience, are inheriting the promises. When God made the promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself and said, I will indeed bless you and multiply you. And so after patient waiting, Abraham obtained the promise. Now men swear by someone greater than themselves. For them an oath serves as a guarantee and puts an end to all argument. So when God wanted to give the heirs of his promise an even clearer demonstration of the immutability of his purpose, He intervened with an oath, so that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge might be strongly encouraged to hold fast to the hope that lies before us. This we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and firm, which reaches into the interior behind the veil, where Jesus has entered on our behalf as forerunner, becoming high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Sponsorial Psalm. The Lord will remember his covenant forever. Hallelujah. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company and assembly of the just. Great are the works of the Lord, exquisite in all their delights. The Lord will remember his covenant forever. Hallelujah. He has won renown for his wondrous deeds. Gracious and merciful is the Lord. He has given food to those who fear him. He will forever be mindful of his covenant. The Lord will remember his covenant forever. Hallelujah. He has sent deliverance to his people. He has ratified his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. His praise endures forever. The Lord will remember his covenant forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
accepted him. He gave power to become children of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Gospel according to St. Mark. As Jesus was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the grain, heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions were hungry, how he went into the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of offering that only the priests could lawfully eat and share it with his companions?" Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is why the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. St. Anthony of Egypt. Anthony was born around 251 to wealthy parents who owned land in the present day near Cairo. During this time, the Catholic Church was rapidly spreading its influence throughout the vast expanse of the Roman Empire. While the empire remained officially pagan and did not legally recognize the new religion, around the year 270, two great burdens came upon Anthony simultaneously: the death of both his parents and his inheritance of their possessions and property. These simultaneous occurrences prompted Anthony to reevaluate his entire life in light of the principles of the Gospel, which proposed both the redemptive possibilities of his personal loss and the spiritual danger of his financial gain. Disciple of St. Paul of Thebes, Anthony began to practice life at the age of 20, and after 15 years withdrew for absolute solitude to a mountain by the Nile where he lived from about 286 to 305. Accordingly, with some of his family's wealth, he made arrangements for his younger sister to be cared for by a group of women who had made perpetual vows of chastity. Then he sold the rest of his land and possessions and distributed the proceeds among the poor. Attending mass one day, he heard, as if for the first time, Jesus' exhortation to another rich young man in the biblical narrative: "If you wish to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Anthony told his disciples in later years, and it was as though Christ has spoken those words to him directly. During the course of this retreat, he began his legendary combat against the devil, withstanding a series of temptations famous in Christian theology and iconography. About 305, he emerged from his retreat to instruct and organize the monastic life of the hermits who imitated him and who had established themselves nearby. When he was around 33 years old, a group of his patrons found him in serious condition and took him back to a local church to recover. When Christian persecution ended after the Edict of Milan in 313, he moved to a mountain in the desert, eastern desert, between the Nile and the Red Sea. He ventured twice to Alexandria, the last time in 350, to preach against Arianism, a heretical doctrine teaching that Christ the Son is not the same substance as God the Father. So, as a religious hermit and one of the earliest desert fathers, considered the founder and father of organized Christian monasticism, the life of Anthony will remind many people of St. Francis of Assisi. At 20, Anthony was so moved by the gospel message, "Go sell what you have and give to the poor." Mark chapter 10, verse 21. That he actually did just that with his large inheritance. He is different from Francis in that most of Anthony's life was spent in solitude. He saw the world completely covered with snares, and gave the church and the world the witness of solitary asceticism, great personal mortification and prayer. But no saint is antisocial, and Anthony drew many people to himself for spiritual healing and guidance. At 54, he responded to many requests and founded a sort of monastery of scattered cells. Again, like Francis, he had great fear of stately buildings and well-laden tables. At 60, he hoped to be a martyr. In the renewed Roman persecution of 311, fearlessly exposing himself to danger while giving moral and material support to those in prison. At 88, he was fighting the Arian heresy, that massive trauma from which it took the church centuries to recover. The mule kicking over the altar denied the divinity of Christ. The early monks who followed Anthony into the desert considered themselves the vanguard of God's army, and by fasting and performing other ascetic practices, they attempted to attain the same state of spiritual purity and freedom from temptation that they saw realized in Anthony. Anthony's spiritual combats with what he envisioned as the forces of evil made his life one long struggle against the devil. According to Athanasius, the Bishop of Alexandria, the devil's assault on Anthony took the form of visions, either seductive or horrible, experienced by the saint. For example, at times the devil appeared in the guise of a monk bringing bread during his fasts, or in the form of wild beasts, women, or soldiers, sometimes beating the saint and leaving him in a deathly state. Anthony endured many such attacks, and those who witnessed them were convinced they were real. Every vision conjured up by Satan was repelled by Anthony's vivid prayer and penitential acts. So exotic were the visions, and so steadfast was Anthony's endurance, that the subject of his temptations. Do not be astonished if an emperor writes to us, for he is a man, the other monks, but rather wonder that God wrote the law for men and has spoken to us through his own son. Anthony wrote back to Constantine, advising him not to think much of the present, but rather to remember the judgment that is coming, and to know that Christ alone was the true and eternal King. Anthony is credited with assisting in a number of miraculous healings, primarily ergotism, which became known as St. Anthony's Fire. He was credited by two local noblemen of assisting them in recovery from the disease. Anthony is associated in art with a T-shaped cross, a pig in a book. The pig and the cross are symbols of his valiant warfare with the devil. The cross, his constant means of power over evil spirits. The pig, a symbol of the devil himself. St. Anthony may have been up to 105 years old when he died, sometime between 350 and 356. In keeping with his instructions, two of his disciples buried his body secretly in an unmarked grave. And thank you, Lord, for the example of your great saints, those who are in the Catholic Hall of Fame. That's the ultimate goal. That is our ultimate goal, the Catholic Hall of Fame, where you are, Lord, and where your promises are fully recognized and known. Heaven is where you are, and our Blessed Mother, and all your people, and all of the saints, the Church triumphant. And so as we, the Church militant, move forward, your grace is sufficient. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts you have given us. We are well blessed. And bring back the prodigals, Lord. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. Forgive us of our sin. Thank you for the sacraments, the sacrament of confession, and the Holy Eucharist. Thank you for your presence in the Eucharist, Lord. Thank you for such a thankful heart to be mindful of all that you have done. In your victory, giving us the victory, giving us a share of who you are in us. Just want to sing of your mercy and your love.
I want to sing of your mercy. I want to sing of your love. And tell the world I'm grateful for everything that you have done. I want to sing of your kindness. I want to share the good news. As long as I can sing, I want to sing of
about you. And St. Anthony, who had retired to the remote parts of the desert, St. Anthony of the desert, often experienced the fiercest attacks of the devils. They would appear to him under a thousand frightful forms. The saint laughed at their impotence and to put them to flight. He simply contented himself. He simply contented himself with making the sign of the cross, saying to his disciples, "Believe me, Satan fears and humility and the love of Jesus Christ. The mere sign of the cross suffices to banish him." What was it that Jesus instructed St. Peter? Basically, in us, when we see any manifestation of the devil, we tell Satan, "Get behind me." And the sign of the cross banishes him. And so we may be converted as Our Lady calls for our conversion, our total conversion. And I love this. St. Patrick and his companions appeared to walk through bolted doors to see the pagan king and invited to sit down and parley. The pagan priest offered St. Patrick a drink laced with poison. Knowing this, St. Patrick did the sign of the cross over the cup, and immediately the drink went from being hot to ice, except the poison, dumping out the poison. Patrick again blessed the cup, and the drink returned to normal. With everyone watching, the pagan king was converted. And so as we begin, let us close. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And to remember to pray for America. To pray. When America is strong, the world is safer. Pray for the Holy Catholic Church, the Lord's kingdom on earth. Pray for Pope Francis and all the bishops and clergy. Pray for them. Pray for our families, that fathers will assume their responsibility, and mothers, that they will work together in bringing their children up in the glorious gospel of Jesus and teaching them our holy Catholic faith, the greatest gift that they can give their children, to bring them up in the way of righteousness. To pray for all people of goodwill. And be thankful for all the great gifts He has given us. So, that thankful heart, like the one leper who came back to give thanks. When you go to Mass, make the Mass the center of your life. And pray the rosary. May your work be a way of praise. So God bless you all. Good day.